Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before you listen to the podcast, I want to tell you about one of my favorite things in the world. The Lit teacher training. Creating this comprehensive teacher training really felt like my life's work compilation, and I hold nothing back. My mission is for everyone to know and understand the whole body, functional movement, and the how and why behind the movement choices we make to feel empowered, transforming your own lives and sharing that knowledge with others. In the Lit teacher training, we investigate the poses and transitions, the energy flow through this vessel of our body, and work to move through space with increased precision and fluidity to create more joy and fun. So ask yourself, are you enjoying the life you're living in your body? If you're not fully, there's no better time than now to create new pathways and new opportunities. And with that fresh palette, attempt to emphasize growth and connection rather than accomplishment. Learning how to give people feedback in their bodies so that they retrain their own neural pathways and habitual movement patterns is truly a gift, and you will get that in this training. With both our self-guided and in real-time virtual experience, the 10-week training is rich in functional anatomy from my background as a physical therapist, methodology, and yogic philosophy through a modern-day lens. Like the hundred of others around the world, you will complete the training with new skills, sound knowledge, and confidence to teach others. And you have access to the training for life. Finally, our Lit teacher community is vibrant and supportive, and being a part of it is like having all your friends with who you speak the same language with the same passion. So join this experience for reverence of the body as the container of the divine to change your life. Go to lityogatraining.com, and I can't wait for you to join our community. Good movement, and welcome to Redefining Yoga, a Lit Yoga podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through smarter and safer movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. Welcome to the Wednesday Q&A, where you all ask the questions and we answer. I am joined, as always, by my lovely, amazing, intelligent, and such a fun co-host, Kristen Williams.
Hey, Laura. Hey, everybody. Ooh, it's fun. We are fun.
We are fun. We have fun together.
We do. We love us. All right, let's go ahead and get started here. We had a question sent in to our support at lityoga.com from Summer. And she says, Summer has pain deep in her right glute that shoots down the back of her leg. It has been persistent for over 3 months now. I haven't done a workout or yoga class since February. I'm an athlete, so it's really beginning to wear me down and it interferes with my daily life. It started back last July after I finished my first half marathon. A few weeks after the race, I developed horrible low back pain that shot down the right leg. The doctors gave me a firm diagnosis without imaging tests, but he prescribed muscle relaxers and wouldn't give me a firm diagnosis, but he gave her muscle relaxants, anti-inflammatories, and told me to do piriformis stretches. The meds and rest eventually put it into remission, and I stopped doing all seated forward fold postures and never stretched my hamstrings without bending my knees, trying to be very mindful of neutral pelvis and to protect my SI joint and lumbar spine. But in February of March this year, it came back. This time, I have no pain in the low back, just the glute in the back of the leg. It's worse first thing in the morning, and sometimes it wakes me up at night. I've been working with some functional movement practitioners for about a month now, trying to relieve and correct the issue, but it's truly a roller coaster. Some days I take two steps forward, I think it's getting better, and then the next I take three steps back. I can hardly walk without medication. Sitting aggravates it the most, especially sitting in a car. I have a desk job, but I've been using a standing desk exclusively since March. When doing windshield wipers with my knees, I find that internal rotation is much more accessible and pain-free on the affected side. To make things a little more complicated, my husband and I are dealing with infertility issues and trying to conceive. So I'm feeling pressured to get this figured out before I get pregnant and add even more variables to the mix. Any insight is greatly appreciated. Love your podcast, love your platform, and love the supportive and playful energy you put out. I want to get back and moving well so that my cup overflows again like yours.
Ugh.
Bless her heart. I mean,
sweetie, yeah.
This is so frustrating, especially for athletes. And this is who we see get this presentation. This, yes, it presents just like a sciatica, like a piriformis syndrome, like she was quote unquote diagnosed with, it sounds like, even though you wouldn't give her a firm diagnosis. And it's not uncommon to get this type of stuff after a endurance running event. I certainly have had flare-ups in the past myself. I will be honest, I haven't gotten one like that since I've been doing lit regularly. So I do think it oftentimes boils down to an imbalance, especially when it's on one side. She did say she has a desk job, which is an immediate red flag for us, right? And she did say that she now has been exclusively using a standing desk, which is also another little bit of information, I think, that I have a desk that does sit and stand. But, whenever we hear that people are doing an athletic event, a job, something that is prolonged, not to mention she's got this other stress in her life with infertility. To me, Laura, this is pointing to the hips, right? This is pointing to, she's talking about how that internal rotation on the affected side is more free. She's talking about it's really dependent upon sitting. Sitting makes it worse. And it's presenting like a classic referred issue from the buttock, pelvis, hip. She's given us just about as much information as we could possibly have without seeing her, which I would love. You are someone, Summer, who I would love to look mm-hmm. at your posture, to look at how you move. To really ask you, how does your practice feel left side versus right side? Do you notice a difference? You probably do. What she says, she's working with someone who's been doing corrective exercises. Has that been helping? There's so much more to go in here with for her, but I would absolutely be wanting to look at that hip mobility left to right, look at the hip strength left to right, look at her posture, her pelvis.
Ding, ding, ding.
See where she is. What else do you have on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, Summer. If you want to send us some postural pictures and some maybe hinging forward, but based on this, blindly going into it, my gut is the same. It sounds like a lumbopelvic stability issue that it correlates to the hip. So I have this skeleton behind me. You can't see it if you're not looking, but there's a lot of nerves in this lower lumbar area that meets up with the sacrum and the pelvis. If your pelvis is chronically tipping forward, you essentially are compressing that area that is, those are nerves, but you also are compressing blood flow, you're compressing lymphatics, all of that. And that can just over time, it doesn't show. This is the issue. It doesn't show up. You can be really active, really strong, and for years, maybe even decades. And then, you know, you lean over and something feels really bad in your back. And it's just, it's been brewing. And it's connective tissue that is restricted. And that restriction, when your pelvis is not in neutral, is going to restrict your hip mobility. And what you're doing, sitting, standing, running, all in one plane, doesn't require huge ranges of motion of your hip. A lot of runners we see can kind of just throw themselves through the air, for lack of a better, term, and not use their hips that much. They can really overuse their shins and down the chain, and then their low back. So first I would say, whoever you're working with, and by the way, come on to Lit, because our Lit Daily, we have an abundance of classes that emphasize, all of our classes, dare I say, emphasize lumbopelvic stability. But I know Kristen's got hip pathology series, a sciatica series. You don't have to have sciatica to take the sciatica series, because all of these are under the same umbrella. There's some dysfunction and pathology in the lumbopelvic stability and hip mobility. That's all there together. And that could be coming from your rib cage not moving well there, thrusting the ribs forward, your position of your head. I just had a private yesterday who is having low back stuff. She always has shoulder and neck stuff, but her head is so far forward. So all of that tissue, I said, it's like putting on pajamas that are too small, you know, that feeling. And it's like there's going to be a tug. So you've got to work on your lumbopelvic stability and get proper spinal alignment and posture, because you need that to distribute load evenly, because when it's not aligned, that load from the ground, from your body weight above, is not being distributed evenly. So your low back might be really, really taking the connective tissue there is like really taking a lot of that. And that affects the way your hips can move, that affects the blood flow, and that'll affect the nerve. So that pain and deep in your butt is really, I think, like Kristen said, referred. It's the and that's where we, it's always, you've got to work with people who look at the whole system. Because if you go to where the pain is and you bullseye on that, you're really missing a lot. And you're missing like, well, how are your hips moving in different planes, getting up from the ground? Are you able to do some lateral movement? You talked about forward folds, seated forward folds. Take them off of your just don't even do those. They will do nothing for somebody like you. They don't do anything for me. But for anybody that has that, they're going to give you the sensation of their pulling, but it's not going to change the biomechanics. So if you want to go deeper into this, please just send us a video and let us look at it. But that is my gut, is that it's definitely there. And good luck with the fertility stuff. I know that it's so mental, and just believe in abundance and believe that baby is coming your way, and prepare your body to you know, be able to carry it healthfully. And you're doing that by even inquiring about it. But getting that lumbopelvic stability is so important prior to pregnancy, because those little things or not so little things can become more significant as the weight in the uterus is redistributing weight on your pelvis.
And I would say, like, she's got that standing desk, you know, stand and sit, you know, if it can trans, you know, prolonged standing is going to be just as detrimental.
The sedentary is really almost like stationary. Sedentary is you're not moving out of one position. So it doesn't mean from sitting. It could be from standing. So it's the variety of movement, and that you really need to move often. You know, for somebody like you, you need to get out of your desk every 20 minutes. That's not going to, until this starts to, you know, it doesn't mean you get out but you can get up for 5 minutes, do some lateral lunges, do some rotation. You're going to need strengthening probably more than stretching, but some fascial work would also probably benefit, you know, some like really good structural integration.
And so, I agree with that hip mobility, because I'm a classic runner. I do not use my hips like walking, I feel more hip work.
I know. Really, I remember running and it just kind of like you land and that's what those wonderful, you know, the Achilles is made for. It's like, but you can get away with it. And especially if you got that anterior, any kind of anterior tilt or lumbopelvic instability, it's going to continue to kind of tighten that low back.
Yep.
Hi, friends. I'm reminding you, we have an upcoming Lit Europe tour, and we would love for you to join us. Whether you live in Europe or not, get on to these workshops. Maybe travel with us and go from one place to another. I mean, we're going to Paris. We're going to Frankfurt, Germany. Then we're heading to Salzburg, Austria. We're going to have the best time, and we would love to see you. There's nothing like an in-person workshop experience to fine-tune your movement, get some real educational nuggets for better movement on and off the mat. And by the way, we have the best time together. We would love to give you a hug and help you move your best and feel your best. So join us in Europe this summer. Check out the show notes for all the details. All right, Jennifer Artman, my question for the podcast, having connective tissue disorders, there isn't a whole lot I can do without making matters worse for myself by way of inflammation. So I stick to movement, quote, gentle stretches and things like Qigong. This has always worked well since I'm naturally long and lean, but I'll be 50 in August and I'm in menopause and my middle is getting icky. Is there a gentle way to tighten this area without hurting myself? I can't plank because of what it does to my neck and shoulders. Physically, I can do almost anything. I'm not weak. I'm just very flexible, but my fascia is apparently a mess. Aw. Well, bless you. KB's not in menopause yet, but I'm in menopause, and I know a lot of other women in menopause that do talk about that kind of middle, I don't know, what is it called again? There's a term for it, but basically your middle, so like you just kind of, that's, women do tend to get more accumulation of fat in their middle after menopause because of the imbalance of hormones. Those balance of hormones, which include testosterone, by the way, it's not just estrogen and progesterone, it's testosterone, might tend to make the middle section more inclined to just hold on to stuff. So I don't know. I'm more concerned about how you feel. I know you're also concerned about how it looks because that's just how we are. But let's talk about the feeling part more, because I think when you feel better and are able to move better, then you will feel stronger and you're just going to feel better about yourself all the way around. So you're very flexible. You have a connective tissue disorder. You say you can't do plank. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I do know people with connective tissue disorders that eventually do plank. So I one thing I would say is open up your vision of what is potential. You will need to focus excessively on stabilizing your core well, because with any kind of connective tissue disorders, there is a decreased proprioception that where you're able to really map where you are in space and get that sense, you know, that input from your body to your brain and back to your body about being able to hold a position well. And so being on the floor is so good for you. You don't have to do plank. Do quadruped on blocks where you're getting a little bit of more, I don't want to say instability, but it's not quite the same as a firm surface. You working, getting that that ground reaction force up through your arms is going into your shoulders, which is going into your center as well via your scapula. And you know, do movement, but I would really even add some weights. Now for you, I think a small load is going to be helpful. So it could be anywhere from 1 pound to 3 pounds in each hand, because what the weight is going to do, it's not about getting strong. It's actually about getting more information. You need a little bit of extra load. And I've seen this with people that I've worked with who have hypermobility that gets more information into the brain about how to manage that, manage your center by having the weights in your hands. So even doing some squats with a little bit more weight in your hands to get more stability, to get more core integration. So core doesn't have to just happen by lying on your back and doing abdominals or being in plank. It can happen by moving your limbs, because that's what the core is meant to do, is stabilize against the movement of your limbs. And you can start without, you know, much weight at all and just add a little bit more weight on there. What would you add to that?
Well, first of all, I love that you pointed that out about the plank, you know, because we have some people with severe, I would argue severe, people on the platform, people who've been doing lit, and they've been doing it very slowly and really modifying, but it's been the most gratifying to watch them, especially, you know, someone like her who, you know, who has this connective tissue disorder. I mean, those are debilitating. They really are. And if you've never known someone who's had one, you know, it's truly, to me, one of the worst things I think, especially someone like her who is long and lean, can have, because she already has just her body build working against her. You know, if she was short and stout, connective tissue disorder wouldn't be as big of an issue, but you know, she's already biomechanically set up to be, you know, those longer levers are, you don't have the connective tissue to stabilize, but that doesn't mean, you know, that you can't really work towards getting stronger. And I think that's going to help her. I think it is going to help the pooch, you know, as mm-hmm. well as just how she feels, getting that strength, because I think what you're talking about with the proprioception and just having a hard time feeling, you know, where you are in space, that also ties in, I would assume, to just that ability to create that longer shape. If you can, because I think a lot of, yes, there, we can't change the hormones. We can't change, I think, the way the fat distributes differently as we age. But, you know, our body shape, we can, which matters, you know, as we age. I see this, people's posture starts to degenerate. And so the belly goes out because the spine shortens. So as we get that strength, that length, and planking is part of that ability to, in my opinion, because I'm long and lean too, to really wrap the tailbone long and lengthen out through the spine and pull up in those deep abdominals. And then couple that with having a connective tissue disorder, you know, she's really going to have to, plank could be a 2-year, 3-year goal that is broken down into, yes, quadruped, doing things.
And you mentioned your neck and plank. So I would say lift your head up and look forward. Yeah. A lot of people have their head way too low in plank, and that burdens the neck and shoulders. Just lift it up a little bit, not like you're lifting your chin, but really almost lift it like you've got something underneath, which might feel a little awkward at first. And the other thing I would just add is watch what your forearms are doing. So people, everyone without hypermobility, but definitely with hypermobility, they just spin the forearm. That gives you that like locked out, hyperextended elbow feeling, which is a little bit of a speed bump to that energy coming up into your core. Mm-hmm. So when I say don't spin your forearms, I mean look at them and don't let that move at all. And really think in your brain, even if it's not translating right away, about the back of your shoulder, your tricep, trying to tighten there to connect that energy from the ground up. That could be another reason that your shoulder and neck aren't feeling great, is if you kind of lock out your elbows, like a lot of hypermobile people do, and kind of spin up the forearms, mm-hmm. It rounds your upper back, and then you get the turtleneck. It feels awful for anyone, but I'm sure it feels really bad for you. But like what KB said, just starting in quadruped and then maybe walking your knees back a little bit. Plank doesn't have to necessarily or ever mean your knees are off the ground, but work toward that. So progress toward it versus just writing it off completely. And I think getting on your forearms too is important.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of endurance, you know, mm-hmm.
yeah,
that, you know, that maintenance of position for prolonged periods is tough.
And yeah. But keep us posted. We'd love to hear any other thoughts you have, Jen.
All right. We got an anonymous question sent in to our podcast. She says she has a question for the podcast, which I love, by the way. Thank you so much for all you both do. I am a PTA, that's a physical therapist assistant, and a yogi, and really enjoy how you merge the two worlds. I have a friend recovering from osteomyelitis of the lumbar spine. While blood work and scans show the infection is going away, maybe 2 more weeks left of antibiotics, and he is moving better. He still has pain with bed mobility, rolling, supine to sit, and sit to stand, especially first thing in the morning. Any thoughts on exercises to help his back feel better, less stiff while he is recovering? As a clinician, I have never seen lumbar osteomyelitis, and am unsure how to proceed. Thanks and be well. And so for people who don't know what osteomyelitis is, it's an infection of the bone.
The spine is one a common area, you know, the spine, the hips, that I have seen people with having that, especially adults. Maybe you haven't seen it yet, but that's not unusual for adults to have that in the spine and hips.
Right. And so when you have a bony infection, there is certainly an instability that can be created around the bone. And so a lot of times people are advised, you know, not to do stuff to, rightfully so, to stress the bone until that infection is cleared up and the bony integrity becomes more substantial. So it's no wonder, I would guess, he's probably been feeling pretty low. But also probably has not been moving very much. And it's good to hear that he's pretty close to being cleared out by way of infection. But, you know, I think we still have to be mindful of both how that has maybe stiffened around the spine, but also how the integrity of the bones might be, which is why I love LIT, because we never crank on anything. We're not pushing into any end ranges of motion. So, you know, for someone like him, he feels worse in the morning. He's almost presenting to me similar to like a ankylosing type of a, you know, just that classic tightness in the spine, in the low back from lack of movement. So, you know, first thing in the morning, just having him rock from side to side, the knees, maybe even doing some gentle pelvic tilting just to kind of get the juices flowing. Even if he's not working at the spine, having him do stuff in the chest, in the upper thoracic, getting a lengthening that way, even like our low bridge, I think, before you get out of bed, feet, bend the knees, feet down, lift the hips, draw that tailbone long, just that littlest bit where he can then kind of tiptoe the spine down and just, Laura, you use that analogy that I love where you're taking like a credit card and you're bending it and how you just sort of have to grease the wheels a little bit. You don't want to go so far that it breaks, or like when you're trying to a door is jammed and you sort of wiggle it back and forth to get that movement. It sounds to me like for him, the initial thought will be movement, you know, loosening up his hips. I bet his hips are tight. So having him do just a supine figure four, working towards cat-cow, working into some lateral planes of motion. He certainly, I think, will benefit from stability work as well. So a combination of the two. But, you know, for someone like him, you do want to let pain be your guide, but not be your, you know, you can't listen to pain. It's where you don't do anything that causes you discomfort. So he may be moving into some discomfort, but, you know, really I like to use the stoplight analogy. Let him move into some green light, yellow light, nothing up in the red light type of pain. And just as he moves, he probably feels better as he gets going. You know, what else would you say for that, Laura?
Yeah, I would look at it like this is a diagnosis. It's a bacterial infection. That itself is just almost analogous to anything. Like, you had COVID for 2 weeks and you're in bed. You know, having some attack to your body usually makes you less mobile and you're recovering. You have less energy. Your body is using energy to help the healing process. So all in all, I would just look at it less like focusing on the lumbar, like the area that it happened, and just more that like he's just recovering from not being well. And that could apply to anything. Again, like, you know, we've had so many people over the last few years with COVID. And of course, it's obviously a different disease and infection, but similar in the sense that recovery itself is going to feel like you're going to get fatigued and all that. So it's just like, get the motor going. I totally agree with what Kristen said. I don't think you have to stay away from movement, but you don't have to directly move around the lumbar spine, because there's so many things that attach to it that also, like, you move your ribs, you're going to get some of that back tissue. You move your hips, you're going to get some of that back tissue. Lateral movement, awesome. So I would just say, proceed, you know, carefully, just like you would with anybody who's recovering, because the recovery from an attack on your body, bacterial or viral, that itself takes a lot of energy. And that's why we feel so tired, you know, when something like that happens. But movement is going to help. Remember, his lymphatic system, which is going to help clear out any remaining remnants that the antibiotics didn't take care of, like, that's what we need to do, because the lymphatics are a huge drivers for our immunity, and they require movement to work well. So it's like, we do have to get, you know, start pumping, but it can be small at first, and then just see how his body responds. Yeah. Great questions. That was a variety. As always, we love your questions. We love that you are loving and supporting our podcast. We just are so grateful, grateful, grateful. So please keep the questions coming. You know, you can find us on Instagram. I'm Laura.Hyman, KBWilliams99, or you can just directly go to the podcast IG handle, which is Redefining Yoga Podcast, and write a question there. And you can also
email us. Like, several of our questions came in today via email, support@lyt, that's L-Y-T, yoga.com. We get those forwarded to us, and we save them in a little folder. And then it might take us a few weeks, but, know that we will get your questions answered, and nothing is off the table. So as we love if you would rate and review as well on whatever podcast platform you listen on, because that helps us.
It does. It helps us a lot. And we love it. Yeah, we love it. So thank you so much. And as always, we're pulling for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.